Welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to another Monday Mom Mentor. And today I have here with me Bethany Kimsey, who I think you're going to love. So welcome, Bethany.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, good. We're excited to have you. So can you introduce yourself a bit to us, Bethany?
Sure. I am a mom of my husband and I have been married for 24 years. Celebrated that this last month, and we have 8 kids. So my oldest is 22. And then my youngest just turned 5. So they kind of go, everybody always wants to know, there's no twins, they're all mine, like they would be all mine anyway, but people always ask that question. But yeah, they just go probably about every 2 years, and there are 4 boys and 4 girls.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you've got a wealth of experience with everything under the sun.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
maybe not everything, but
learning and growing, but I've seen some stuff.
That's cool. And what I love is that you have almost all the, you know, for those of us in the group here, there are a few people who maybe have kids that are younger, but you have experience with kids who are younger, experience with teenagers and preteens and adults now. So this is great.
It's been interesting. I mean, one of my oldest kids just got engaged over Christmas. So we're like, even that is now happening. And I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, I'm the only person I know who's planning a wedding for a child and trying to help a little one learn to read. And, you know, anyway, it's just a different phase, but it's exciting.
That's cool. You have a very unique outlook on life then, I'm sure. That's really cool. And that makes you able to connect probably with moms of all different ages at your church and outside. There's always something to talk about that you have in common, right?
Yeah, right.
So we were going to talk about gospel motherhood and what the gospel has to do with motherhood and sharing the gospel with our kids in word and deed. So before we start talking about that, let's make some definitions. So how would you define the gospel?
Okay. The simplest approach that I have to defining the gospel is I break it into 4 spaces. And I know a lot of people break it into 4. The 4 that I break it into for me is I break it into 4 questions. So who is God? Who is man? Who is Jesus? And how does Jesus impact us?
Hmm.
So, for me, the gospel is very, centered in who God is. Hmm. And oftentimes we'll talk about the gospel from man-central position. And so I want to be cautious, even in my wording here. I really want to, you know, I really seek to make sure I understand that actually the gospel is about God. It's about Jesus. It's about who they are and the redemption story that they offer to you and to me. But because that redemption is so freely offered to you and to me, then it radically changes everything about who we are and who we can become. But so I think that would be it. So, you know, we're looking at who God is and his sovereignty and his incredible nature, and then who we are. And that does encompass the fall. That encompasses all of man's sinful nature. And then who Christ is and why he came. Why did he come as a man? And what did he do? And then how does that impact and radically change everything going forward? So it'd be those 4 questions. That's how I work it.
I love that. I actually haven't heard it phrase like that before. That's cool. But you're so right that it is. We do tend to focus it all on us, but really it's not about us. It's about God.
Yeah. I mean, and I think honestly in my motherhood, I mean, I have grown up and I've heard many different ways. So I'm not, you know, rejecting the other ways of presenting the gospel. It just helps me when I filter my life to filter it into one of those spaces. Oh, is this, what part of this am I applying? How am I applying the gospel in this moment with this child or with this truth or this scripture verse? Or, you know, is this talking about God? Is this talking about me? You know, that kind of thing.
Hmm. I love that. Okay. Well, I'm excited to hear some examples, I hope. How does that impact you, your parenting?
Okay. I think when I was a young mom, we had our first 3 kids kind of boom, 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 boom. They were, the first 2 were 18 months apart, and then the 3rd one came really quickly after that, the 2nd. And my husband was a surgery resident. So if you know anything about residency and then surgery residency life. He was just, I was basically a single mom parenting. I mean, I probably saw him like 3 hours about every 36 to, no, probably more like 48 hours. I just didn't, he just wasn't around a whole lot to parent.
Yeah.
Like it was a, I mean, I knew it, we knew it going in. It was just a stage we were in. And, but it was in that space where I had to begin to figure out, because it was really hard. And I have such a heart for young mamas because it's really hard to parent little people, even if it's just one little person. Mm-hmm. And then you compound it when you have more. And so I think the first space that Jesus began to intersect the gospel for me in my motherhood, where it began, instead of it being, yes, I believe all of the gospel, and yes, I am a mother, and they were parallel tracks. Mm-hmm. When it began to intersect, was actually in the concept for me with the Lord. One day I was standing there and I had this mess with my, I had a newborn at the time, and I had a mess with basically a 20-month-old, and then I got almost 3-year-old. Like they were all doing things that were wrong. And I was so tired. I mean, I've been up nursing and I was so tired, and then there was nobody else. And it's just this whole, all the feelings of that moment. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit just, for me, it was this epiphany, but he goes, Bethany, they're all sinners. Hmm. And you're a sinner. And this is a sinful moment. It's what I came for. Hmm. This is it. And it was like, instead of it being this parallel tract of, I believe Jesus died for my sins, mm-hmm. and I'm so thankful, it became a, like, we're applying that in this moment. And maybe for most people, it's a natural intersection. It was not natural for me. Yeah. It was like they were compartmentalized, and I wanted to be a good mom, and I wanted to be a Christian mom. So, like, we went to church, and I sang Jesus Loves You, and they heard all the Bible stories. But there wasn't this radical intersection where my heart was completely compassionate to the sinner standing in my midst, understanding that I was a sinner standing in the same place, dealing with my own sin in this moment where I had these two sinners doing terrible things made me want to sin. I mean, I just wanted to be upset. And so when I say that the gospel intersects it, I mean, it's in like the little tiny moments where I have to stand for a second. And my kids are kind of used to me now because it's not natural. I've been doing this for 23 years or 22 years. It's still not natural, but that's because I'm flesh. That's because I am a sinner. So my natural is to view it from a selfish perspective, an apathetic perspective, from there. Mm-hmm. But in truth, when I understand the gospel in that moment, then that's why, like, when I break down the gospel into these questions, it is because in that moment I have to stand there and go, okay, what's going on? Okay, there's a sinner who is man right here, mm-hmm. but who is God? Who is God before the sinner? And so I know these truths about him. And then what does Jesus offer in this moment? If Jesus were standing in my shoes, mm-hmm. what would he offer? And then what does Jesus say about me in this moment? What is he standing beside me, speaking into me as the mama in this moment? Because my natural tendency, I'm fully standing in the fact, and I don't know about any other mom, but I know even if I don't say it, the fact that I'm so irritated in my brain and mad in my brain becomes fodder for the enemy to say, but you're so irritated and you're so mean in your head, if your kids even know what's going on in your head. So then he's going to kill me with that. Even if I can have enough self-control to keep it off my tongue, mm-hmm. he'll kill me with it. He still wants to grab me with it. So understanding who is Jesus to me, what does he say about my identity, even in this moment? And then, okay, so how can I then move in this moment in a way that reflects Jesus better? Never perfect. I'm never perfect. I'm not. 22 years into this, I think I am more, so much more understanding of how huge the pools of God's grace are.
Wow.
And how deep the wellspring of his love for us is, that it's is never ending, and he will never reject. Like, I think for so many years I felt a little bit like I was always teetering on rejection. I don't know if I answered your question really well. I didn't give you a specific moment, but I do think that the gospel, when I began to apply that and understand that perspective, that the only expectation is I have a sinner in my midst, and then I am the chief of the sinners in the midst. Then I could actually function with a little bit more grace and a lot more prayer.
Yeah, I really love that idea, because I feel like so many of us as Christians can go through life just thinking that the gospel is just hell insurance, and it keeps us out of hell, gets us to go to heaven when we're dead, and has no real impact on the lives that we live today. But it can have a huge impact. So, you know, most of us are living with the, like, that's such a great analogy of these parallel tracks. Here's the gospel. I believe that Jesus died for my sin, but then for my sin every day and my child's sin in this moment when that intersects. Yeah, I was like getting chills when you were talking. So that was a great answer.
Well, and I think the other thing that, and I talk about it a lot, and I don't know what your question was going to be, but the one thing that you and I get to offer our children, and I think it's the beauty of the gospel in our home, is that we offer them hope. Mm-hmm. Because there is no other hope in this world except that Jesus loves you. It is your only hope. There is no other peace. Every other peace will come to an end. So you can find temporary peace in achievement and friendship and whatever. And as your kids age, they will move that peace barometer around, trying to determine where they will find peace. But peace is found in Jesus. And you and I have this awesome privilege to speak that into our kids every day. And as we speak it, as I have spoken it over years, it has become more of God speaking it over me. Like, there have been lots of years where I didn't know it. I'm like, we have hope in this moment.
I think
I totally maybe destroyed everything, and I've hurt your heart terribly, and I've been the worst mom ever, but there is hope. But, you know, and the more we speak and we give that hope to this next group of kids, and it's just a tremendous opportunity we have.
Yes, I'm like, I have nothing to say right at this moment. Usually I'm like brimming with questions, but yes, thank you. So when do you find that sharing the gospel with your kids, like, was there ever a moment when you were just like, hey guys, this is what the gospel is about? Or is it mostly kind of these indirect moments when you're giving hope and pointing them to peace and reminding them that they are a sinner in need of grace?
Well, I think it probably is a both and. So the way I work, like, for instance, with my kids, so discipline, for instance, discipline in our home, the way a child is disciplined in the Kimsey home is beginning from very early. So they are two, and I'm going to go, I need you to go sit in the bathroom. And people are like, how's your kids in the bathroom? I'm like, they'll sit in the bathroom. If you tell them to, they will ultimately, they will learn that the bathroom is not a timeout. It's not a timeout space. That's not the discipline. It's just, I need you to go sit in the bathroom. Honestly, I did it when I had the three littles, because I honestly, I mean, and I am not proud of this at all, but I really struggled with the three. And then we had a fourth right after that. And I just, my firstborn was a real challenge. And then there was a lot of friction between number one and number two. And so I needed them. Like, I needed them to get into spaces, honestly, so that I could have a moment. Because if not, I just could not react well.
I could
yell. I could put a kid in a room, and I mean, I have had the moments where I was too hard with the way I put a kid in. Like, I'm not happy and pleased, but the Lord is gracious unto me and gracious with my relationships with my children in that. But so we tuck them into, I tuck them into a bathroom. I say, I need you to sit in the bathroom. I'm going to be in here in a few minutes. I need you to think about what just went on, and mommy's going to come talk to you. So for the most part, discipline in my home is handled with a lot of discussion, even from very early age. And so when, even when you have a 2-year-old, you can share the gospel with that 2-year-old in that moment. Hmm. And it's on very simplistic terms, but I usually have my little 2-year-olds put their hands on my knees. I sit on the toilet. They stand right in front of me, hands on my knees. So we can be eye to eye and might tell me what you did. And you know, and then they either can tell it to me or they don't know. And that's good for me to know they don't know why they're in the bathroom. They have no idea. Well, we need to clarify this.
Yeah, right. What do
you know? You hit your sister, you know, I hit my sister, you know, well, is hitting kind or unkind? You know, it's unkind. Well, why? You know, well, because it hurts them. Hmm. And then the gospel comes into play immediately. Because even for a 2-year-old, I will say, what does God think about hitting? So we're talking about the sin, not the child, the sin. Right. Okay. So what does God think about hitting? He doesn't think it's right. Right. We know that because he said in the Bible, be kind to one another. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be imprinting some scripture in there. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. So God says, no, we don't. He doesn't want you to hit. But what did you do? I hit. You know, that's called a sin. So now we're in who is man. Hmm. So that's called a sin. And you did a sin. And you know that God said that if you sin, that's a problem. And I usually just hold it as that's a problem, you know, at that moment. I mean, you know, it's a problem. They already feel terrible. They're in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and then usually I say, but you have hope. And I will literally stand there and go, you have hope. Your hope is Jesus. And he knew you were going to hit. He knew it was going to be hard for you. You know, it's hard for mommy. And I will confess my sin. Mm. It's hard for mommy. I want to be mean. Or I honestly, even with my 2-year-old, I can say, mommy was mean to you earlier today. Well, you know, or, you know, like they know. And, you know, but there's hope for mommy and it's Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus died because he knew he loved you so much. He wants to help you learn how to not hit. And he promises to come alongside of you and to begin to teach you how not to hit. Hmm. Because he will teach you how to love. Did you know that? And they're like, no. I say, well, so here's the rule. We're not going to hit. If you choose to hit, the next time you're going to be back in the bathroom with me. And we're going to talk about it again.
Right.
And then I will end it. This is with my little 2-year-olds. And I'll say, and I would like to pray for you. Hmm. And then I need you to make your relationship right. Because that's the other thing. Because remember, we want to talk about relationships. You know, God is all about relationship. He's not about task. He's about relationship.
Right.
And so make your relationship right. But let me pray for you. And then let me send you out with a blessing. And so the gospel is shared from that moment forward. That very first bathroom informational meeting that me and whoever this child has about whatever they've done. And now the gospel is going to be a part of our language. Mm-hmm. And so then there are moments in the day where all of a sudden I'm like, I saw you. You wanted to hit your brother. You chose not to. I'm praying for you that you understand how much Jesus loves you. And he's going to help you love your brother better. Mm-hmm. And it's just these light touches with that. Mm-hmm. So that's about how the gospel starts. I don't know that I ever just sit down with my kid and go, and here's the gospel.
Well, I think you just did.
But, you know, I think that more so it is the hope that they need from the very beginning of their lives. And they know it. Deep in each of our souls, we have a God hole. And we know it from very early awareness. Mm-hmm. That we have something that makes us, you know, we have something that needs Jesus. We just don't know we need Jesus. And so we get the privilege of doing that.
So I have had conversations like that with one of my kids because he is always the one that's like, I don't know why I'm doing this. He's the one that he'll fly off the handle and then he'll be so repentant and so sad that he did that. And like, why did I do that? I don't get it. So we've had a lot of conversations like that with him, but I have two other boys and one of them, he was 2 before I had to say no to him. Like he is one of those people that just mm-hmm. is... generally finds it easy to be good. Mm-hmm. So I actually haven't had an inroad to have that conversation with him yet. And he's 9. So So maybe I need to be looking for them more. Maybe I need to, because I know that those children, they still have those, their sin is just different, right? They may not explode in front of us, but do you have any kids like that where the conversations have been different?
I do. And they're my more compliant. Mm-hmm. They're like the easy kids to raise. And you're like, oh, God, this kid's so easy. And I have learned my easy one was my number three. And I think one thing I began to pray for is I began to pray that I would have eyes to see their sin. Mm. They have sin.
Yeah.
It's just that their sin is more hidden. So the sin of pride, of perfectionism, of expectation, of performance, of believing that the way they are.
Yes. Sorry. You just said perfectionism is a sin. And that is exactly what my son is struggling with so much. Thank you. Continue.
Well, the reason perfectionism is a sin is more the emphasis on the belief that because of what I bring to the table, I am valuable.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it just falls inside of pride.
Yeah,
it does. And so it's helping that child. It is a gift in the sense of they're going to probably do a job really well. We want to introduce them, though, to grace. And we want to introduce them to the fact that God is absolutely accepting of them if they muddy it up for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. If they just can't do another thing right. God still loves you. He does. So, but then we also say, but you have been, there is a gifting in that pursuit of perfectionism. There is a gifting in it.
For sure.
So I probably shouldn't have labeled it as a sin. It is the way it is weighted and the way that child views it. Yeah. And if they view it as their value and their worth, then they are locked inside of pride and they do not understand the grace of God. Right. And so we want to have those conversations. And more than likely they compare. So more than likely, then they are also measuring themselves in relationship to the other kids in the house.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a dynamic that one kid is a rowdy, like you have one kid who is like, he's like, I mean, I'm fine getting in trouble. I'll get in trouble every day.
Exactly.
I'm not doing it, you know, which I've had those and you know it. You just are like, you're going to get in trouble, aren't you? It's just gonna happen. And they're like, I mean, I've literally had kids that go, well, what will be the consequence? Oh. And then I'm left going, so if it's not a big enough consequence, you're willing to do it? Like, you know, they just, that's just where they are. And that's how they're made. Mm-hmm. It's a different journey with Jesus and it's a different testimony that they will have.
Right.
And so it's working with your child and going, I see your temperament. I see the way God made you. That surrender to him becomes beautiful, beautiful reflection mm-hmm. of being surrendered to Jesus and the grace of God. But outside of that, it is a path of sin and flesh. Mm-hmm. And you can feed it. And you might be really good at being perfect for a very long time. But you will come to an end of yourself. Mm-hmm. When you do, I want you to know that there is one and he stands ready to meet you right there. Mm-hmm. And it's having those conversations. And I used to pray. I would ask the Lord to give me eyes to see. Especially because I had a rowdy right around that child. Then sometimes it was like the environment was really thick with dealing with all the other people. And so that one could like slip through the cracks a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so there was like, kind of like what you said. And so I would pray, I'd be like, Lord, I really need to have a conversation today in a space that addresses her heart the way you want her heart addressed. And so, and he was faithful to that. To give me insight into her. And what I like to say is those still waters, you know, that saying that still waters run really deep is very, very true when we parent our kids. Mm-hmm. Truthfully to me, the easiest children to understand the gospel are the rowdy ones.
Yeah.
They fully recognize their need for Jesus.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so we want to be really alert to our compliant, easygoing, striving to please kids. Sometimes they're our firstborns. This one's not in my birth order, but it's just where she, you know, it's just who she is. Mm-hmm. And in helping walk them, because I promise you, they will have places where they fail. Mm-hmm. They may want to cover that up because they're embarrassed that they failed there. Mm-hmm. And what you want is you want to pray that you see them fail. because those are the spaces that you can have these conversations.
Right.
So, yeah, that's how I would pursue it.
Yeah, I love that.
And God will be good. He is faithful. He is faithful to a mama's prayers. He is.
Oh, always. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just don't even think to pray about these things, though. Like, yes, I can ask God, show me where.
Yeah. Give me eyes to see him more like you see him.
Yeah.
That's been my chief prayer for all of my kids is over the years, is just, especially if I'm struggling in a relationship with a child too, is like, Lord, show me the way you see him. Hmm. So show me their strengths, because sometimes you can get in a rut with a kid where all you see is all the junk. Mm-hmm. And so we need to see them the way the Father sees them. And he does not see their junk. Not like that. So it is seeing them with the eyes of compassion and love and gentleness. And then the other side, which is sometimes we just need to see their junk.
Yeah. We need to have our eyes open to all of it, I guess.
One of the hearts I have is that when mamas will learn how to pray specifically for their kids and pray scripture for their kids.
Right.
Mainly because one of the things I think that I really struggled with was this belief that I wasn't praying right. Mm. And again, I'm sort of a perfectionist, and I'm an achiever or a performer. So it was a lie that the enemy could catch me with was, well, the reason your kids like that is because, like, I mean, your prayer life is like diddly squat, or it's not good, or it's not as good as it could be, or you didn't pray the right thing, or look at that, you didn't even think about praying about that, and that's what the kids are dealing with. And all the junk. And finally, the Lord was like, just let's write it down. Hmm. Well, what would we pray about? We would pray the word. Hmm. Just stand in it. And so with that, you know, I have these different things free that somebody can find. If they went to my Instagram, they'd find it easy.
Okay.
If you go to Facebook, you should find it easy. I'm not as good on Facebook. So it's there on Facebook. But they can find the links. I think the easiest on Instagram is where I live. It's easier for me. I'm just functionally not very good at all the different things. So, and then of course my website, which is just Bethany Kinsey as well. And you should be able to find them there, but they're just ways to pray for our kids. I have some for praying for your teenagers, and I have some for praying for your infants. Hmm. And then the next three should actually pop out for toddlers and elementary kids and middle school kids, just different things that are kind of percolating and simmering under the surface in those stages with our kids. Hmm. So how can we pray in line with scripture so that the enemy doesn't like eat our lunch? Hmm. We can be like, no, I'm praying about this. I'm good. Not good, like performance good, but like I can confidently stand in the word of God and know that he hears me and he cares for my kid. So wonderful. That's probably the only thing that I would love to share, is that I think we just need to get a little bit more equipped.
Hmm. To pray or just in?
To pray, and then also to understand the gospel.
Yeah.
I think as my heart is that mamas would begin to intersect those two instead of them being parallel. Because as I sit, because I love to sit with moms. I sit with a bunch of moms a lot. The other day, I don't know, I think I've probably discipled around 100 or a little more mamas over the years. And if any of your people ever would want to reach out to me and just say, I just kind of need 30 minutes of your time, I would love to do it. I just love it. So, but my heart is that mamas would begin to understand there's great freedom in the gospel in being a mom. Yeah. That it can be full of joy. Even if your kid is the hardest kid you have ever seen in your life, and you're pretty sure you're the reason why it's so bad. Mm. Because I've walked in that space, and instead I've found that it's so good because Jesus is good. So I would love, you know, for mamas to know that this is not the way Jesus intended it. He intended our motherhood to look like this. And from this space, you know, there's great confidence there.
Yes. Oh, I'm reading a book right now. I just started it, and it is what you're talking about. I think it's called Give Them Grace, and it's talking about if we don't give them grace, and we're just talking about, you know, did you hit? It's wrong to hit. Don't hit. Stop hitting. Jesus doesn't want you to hit. Then we end up with kids who are very legalistic, or we end up with kids who rebel. Because they don't understand the gospel at all.
And they don't understand. I think the most beautiful thing about the gospel, and I probably didn't say it very well at the beginning, but because we center the gospel on God, on Jesus, like because it is him-centered, there is a vision for our lives that stands out. It's the only reason we're included. It's the reason he tucks us up under his wing and says, you get to shelter up against my heart. It's because he has invited us in to this story of who he is. Mm-hmm. And so that is vision casting. That says to a child, I know you at your very worst, and I love you even there. And I, you know, like the prodigal son, I pick up my shirt, whatever, and run down the road to you, is what God says. Mm-hmm. Because I love you that much and that hard. But if we can cast that vision to our kids and give them that hope, instead of saying just the blatant, you know, unfortunately, it's much easier, especially if you have a bunch of littles or more than one, and you're feeling frazzled and hurried and like it's been a crazy day. It's so much easier. Honestly, we've all done it. We all do it. I do it even still, to go, no, don't stop. Nah, don't. That's not me. Quit it. And never give them the vision of where they're moving to, and never cast that vision forward of not you, but Jesus. And I know Jesus is intersecting your life, and I am praying for him to intersect your life. And I know today has been a rotten day, and that's okay. Because I love you and Jesus loves you. And so, you know what? We can walk out of this bathroom in unity, in relationship. And I am praying that you will make better choices. And if you don't, we'll go back to the bathroom. We'll reset again. I'll pray for you again. You know, and as my kids get older and as their relationship with Jesus is growing, then they're the ones praying. The two-year-old's not really, I mean, you can say repeat after me if you want to. I don't generally, because more than it being something rote, I want them to learn that Jesus actually cares about what they have to say. Mm-hmm. So they will have words, and they'll come pretty quick. 2 to 3, they'll start, I'll be like, you want to pray first and then mommy pray? Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, I don't know what to pray. You said, just say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. All you have to say. It's all you have to say.
Yep, it's pretty easy.
Yeah. But anyway, so I do think that man, if mamas could catch that, It changes everything.
Yeah, just casting the vision. Wow, that is a great note to end on. Thank you so much, Bethany. This has been very inspiring.
Oh, I'm glad. I enjoyed it. Love it.